worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for being a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Again, Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That was Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Father, thank you, Lord, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Thank you for being our King of kings and our Lord of lords. Lord, thank you for how that you've saved us and you've empowered us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've equipped us to be soldiers in your army. Father, more and more open our eyes and our understanding of the reality that all of life is spiritual warfare, and that we're called to be well-equipped soldiers that are prepared to step onto the battlefield every day of our lives. Teach us and equip us. Teach our hands to war as effective soldiers, men and women of God, boys and girls, equipped well by your Spirit and your Word to be able soldiers on the battlefield for your glory. Thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We want to invite you to take time to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like them if you would. And also, please do take time to go to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com, and subscribe if you would. We're honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Tina Griffin. She's the author, or the founder of the ministry Counterculture Mom, and actually many other ministries and outreaches as well. Tina, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing real good, real good. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on with us today. Tina, I know a little bit about your ministry, but each time I've heard you speak in different capacities, I've been blessed and encouraged to see how the Lord is using you to help open the eyes of many people to many of the problems and the tragedies that the devil is using out there in our media and our culture. Would you take time now to further introduce yourself to our listeners and introduce the ministry and the work that you do as well?
Yes, thank you so much, Pastor. And I wanted to start this whole segment off. You were talking and sharing some scripture from Ephesians. Mm-hmm. And throughout my life, when I became a believer at 16 years old, I grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin. I always had I don't know if I should have been an undercover FBI agent, or I actually kind of am in a pop culture world, but I always loved Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Mm-hmm. I've always felt like I had a responsibility that if I knew there were lies being told, if there were things that are harmful that could hurt someone, and I knew the truth about that, that God showed me through scripture, that he said through prayer, that people pointed out to me, and God was clearly saying, I want you to expose this to people so they can have freedom in Christ and come to me and not have to deal with the consequences of sin or of harmful behaviors being promoted. I had that sense of responsibility to do that, and I had that since I was a teenager. So I grew up as a farm kid in Wisconsin, outside of Green Bay, in a little town called Pulaski. and became a believer at 16 years old and told the Lord the day that I became saved. I said, God, I do not want to live a boring, bench-warmer Christian lifestyle. Whatever you have for me, I am sold out for you. I'm willing to take a bullet for you. And I literally was saying that at 16 years old, when most of my friends at that time, not saying I was perfect by any means, but most of my friends partied, drank, sex. And back then, you know, we didn't have the issues we have today with our pop culture media influence yet, which we can talk about in a minute. Mm-hmm. But I remember growing up as a kid thinking, I don't want that lifestyle. And I want to be able to show people, show my friends who Christ is, and that it is amazingly fun and enjoyable to be a Christian. As a kid, mm-hmm. a lot of people would tell me, hey, you know, why become a Christian or believe in God? That means you have to follow all the rules and the regulations and you can no longer have fun. And I'm thinking, it's the complete opposite. God, like, opened my eyes when I was 16. I have been on fire ever since. And so I moved from a farm in Wisconsin to Cal State Los Angeles after taking 2 years in Green Bay for my undergraduate degree at University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Mm-hmm. I moved to Los Angeles. Growing up with film and TV, where the worst I remember reading in pop culture magazines was that Jason Priestley from Friends had wrapped his car around a tree because he was drinking and driving at 80 miles an hour. And I remember thinking, I've got to go talk to Jason and let him know that drinking and driving isn't the answer. Like, literally, this is where my head was at. And so, traveled out to L.A. at the age of 20 and saw a lot of firsthand things going on with celebrities sheltering their own kids from their own entertainment. And wanting to help kids, and I started mentoring youth there at a church called Oasis on Wilshire Boulevard in La Brea, right there south of Hollywood Boulevard. And for 7 to 8 years, I poured myself into helping kids realize that these harmful behaviors that pop culture was promoting, they weren't showing the consequences, and the celebrities they followed actually did not allow their own kids to watch this content and wanted the best for their kids. And so that turned into a ministry called Tina Marie Live, and then after having 4 kids in 4 years, it turned into Counterculture Mom, and I've been exposing the lies, Ephesians 5:11, ever since.
Okay, and so one of the things that you shared that really struck you was that celebrities would participate in things in the media and in Hollywood, but they would shelter their own kids from those same things.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. There were firsthand things that I witnessed, and then also conversations I had with people on set. Whenever I would book an event on set, a TV show, movie, even Runway, I would take my laptop with information I got from Focus on the Family, American Family Association, Heritage Foundation at the age of 20, and I was gathering all the evidence of impacts the media had on kids. Mm-hmm. Then I would go to movie sets to work on them to see firsthand, yep, this matches up. In fact, it's worse than I thought it was. Mm-hmm. And I would realize that these celebs shelter. For example, Madonna, over the years, 20 years now, and granted she has a college student, you know, a daughter, and that Lord is, I believe is how you say her name, and she has a younger son, Rocco. But she has said over the years, oh, man, everything that comes into my home, I shelter them. I look at the magazines, the video games, the books, TV shows, movies. She would monitor. She has said in countless interviews that she looks at this stuff, that she previews, and she's the one that decides what enters her home. And I thought that was shocking. Great information. She's a great parent, or was a great parent. And I wrote about this on my blog, counterculturemom.com. Search Madonna in the upper bar, and you'll find that blog post I created of the tips we should take from Madonna. But the thing that was also very alarming is the fact that she, for example, exposes herself 24/7 when she's on tour. And in my live show, when I speak across the country, prisons, all different venues, prisons, cruise ships, I've been on Focus on the Family cruise ship events, mother-daughter cruises, to high school assemblies, and you name it, parent events. I have a clip that I grabbed from the Ellen DeGeneres show where she was on, I want to say about 3-4 years ago, and her son Rocco came on with her, and it was during one of her tours. And Ellen asked her, well, of course, you know, you have fun with your son. He's on, you know, on tour with you. And she asked Rocco, she's like, Rocco, how do you like it when your mom, you know, was kind of dressed in these risque outfits? And he's like, I don't see that. She has me underneath the stage, busy doing things, doing homework. I don't see my mom when she's dressed like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there 3-4 years ago, I'm like, wow, all these parents were cheering in the audience. And I'm thinking, yeah, but she's totally telling you how big of a hypocrite she is right now because she wants the best for her kids, but millions of other kids are seeing her dance provocatively on stage, barely dressed, and singing all these songs that are making kids think that they have to sexually be active and dress a certain way in order to fit in and be accepted. And yet her son Rocco was fully clothed and learning what a purity relationship looks like. And so that's just one case out of 50 celebrities, 100 celebrities I could give you right now with things I witnessed firsthand in Hollywood and what I still do a lot of research on, about 40 hours a week, just to show kids it's not because I'm telling them to steer clear from negative entertainment. It's not because their parents are telling them, because it's important that we do that. I love giving them the evidence. Watch this interview and see for yourself what these celebrities are really doing, because then they know the truth and they can decide, do I continue following a lie or choose Christ and steer clear from it and make wise media choices? Mm-hmm. And so far, so good from what I've seen and heard over the last 15 years doing this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Tina, I'm going to ask you, would you take a moment now to pray for our listeners to really have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to them about really listening and drawing from what you're sharing and how they can take the truth that the Lord gives them through the broadcast today and put it to work in their own family and in their own community? Would you pray for them?
Amen. Yes. Lord, I just lift up several different people in this situation, Lord. I lift up the parents, that you give them the eyes to see and the ears to hear what is currently happening in our pop culture, in our media, in our school systems, on the street, on billboards, all of these images and messages bombarding our kids, and encourage parents, Lord. I just pray that you encourage the parents listening that they can and will see positive results with your guidance by reading your word daily on how they should raise kids in this backward society that we're living in. And the cool thing with this, Lord, is that by giving parents the tips and tools and your guidance through your word, we will be light among the darkness, and people will see a difference in our families, in our children, in the way they respond, in the choices that we make with even entertainment options on what we watch. And I pray that you'll give parents a new sense and vision and hunger for your truth, and to reach out and witness to their friends, even in the simple ways of, I can't watch that movie because God's really talking to me about this, and this movie discusses that, but I can watch this movie with you. Would you be interested in watching this? Because it uplifts and helps and heals and forgives, and help us see the power that entertainment has on our young people today, and even us as adults. That Satan is the ruler of the air right now, Lord, and so we should expect that we're going to get bombarded at the same time and persecuted, Lord, at the same time with so much joy by doing what you call us to do, and especially when people are searching and hungry for truth, Lord, they're looking for role models, looking for people that actually live out their true Christian faith and their belief in you, Lord. And if we stick to what you really want from Scripture, because you want us to be freed from any kind of sexual temptation, any kind of sinful action, that people will be drawn to want to know more about you, because you will just have your essence in and through us, through what we say, what we believe, what we do, what we watch, what we hear. And yet, even though it's this bad, Lord, I want to just encourage parents that by living and every day for you and listening and getting guidance from the leaders out there that are pointing out why we need to steer clear from certain dangerous content, it is possible. Yes, it can seem overwhelming, but it is totally possible. By setting up safety parameters, by following the people that can give the guidance that they need, and it's worth the investment. Because if we take the time to invest in our kids and help them make wise choices in friends, in activities, in entertainment, they will become the counterculture warriors you have designed them to be, and they'll be bold in this day and age. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to witness and help others.
In Jesus' name, amen. We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Be right back.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. 2019 is upon us, and we're going to be going back to Washington, D.C. and to Williamsburg for our spiritual heritage tours. And if you've been wanting to go, maybe this is the year for you. These tours fill up several months in advance. And one of the reasons they do is because we have an actual historian a professional historian that comes on our tour with us. His name is Stephen McDowell. He's the president of the Providence Foundation, and he knows more about early American history, especially the Christian influence on early American history. He knows more than anybody I know. So, if you want to go with us, you can find out more information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's in June and September. Pick the month you want to go. Find out more information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Physical activity is the new trend. It's not a bad thing unless it has brought a sense of vanity in your life. 2 years ago, I was not happy with the number on the scale nor how I looked. I've never been a huge person, but I was, as the old folks would say, healthy. I joined a gym, gained a personal trainer, even changed some of my eating habits. The Lord checked me one day and in my spirit said, "Why are you disgusted with yourself? Be healthy, take care of the temple I've loaned you, but do it because you want to honor this body, which is your responsibility while on this earth." I said, "You better let me know, Abba." Psalms 139 verse 14 says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." 15 pounds down, I know that even if I was to never look like Serena Williams, with those nice framed, worked out arms, I am wonderfully made in His image, and so are you. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
This is Marnita from The Marnita Show with Parenting Points. Ready for promotion or not? As children grow and develop, be careful not to reward them with the blessing before they are mature enough to handle it. When they are ready for the next level in life, they will exhibit behavior that is indicative of next level living. For example, you don't go to college until you finish high school, right? Children want to test the waters of their next level before they can actually manage it. They don't know that they're not ready. When they ask for their car on Saturday night, but don't normally follow your clear, simple instructions, you can reasonably assume they have a plan B. Instead of bailing them out of trouble, wait until their behavior warrants a promotion. Be the rock that's not movable by their emotions.
For more parenting, tune in to The Marnita Show, right here on your favorite station.
Covenant Church, the song, "I Will Lift Up My Eyes." Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our phone guest today is Tina Griffin. She's the counterculture mom, as well as actively involved in the work of being salt and light and teaching others how to do the same through many different outreaches. Tina, you yourself have been an actress, amongst other things. And when you were working as an actress in Hollywood, what are some of the things that you discovered about the pressures of the industry?
Wow, there were many. And granted, I was never a Brittany Murphy, where I made it big and I was in these big starring roles and movies. And I really think that twofold, God protected me from a lot of what could have went down. And secondly, I said no to so many roles that I was offered just because of the scenes I would have to reenact if I would say yes to the role. And it was ripping my heart out because I really wanted to become a well-known actress, all for the sole purpose of having a platform where I could share about Christ to millions of people. Julia Roberts was someone I looked up to as a kid. I'm thinking, if I could just be a Christian version of Julia Roberts, and be as well liked and known as she is, I would be able to share with so many people about Jesus and be used for him in film. But moving out there, granted, I learned so much firsthand by working on set, but I never got the fame status because some of the times I would get roles I just could not even dream about staying, doing, wearing the clothing even that they would want me to wear. And so it put a lot of pressure on myself. I've seen that firsthand with my agents. And then it put me in a weird position where it's like, if I say no, will my agent drop me? Will they send me out for more work? Will I never work in Hollywood again, even as a, a character, a student on Lizzie McGuire, which I played roles on her show. So it just put added pressure on myself that I saw, but God saw me through it. I was out there for 10 years, and I learned a ton. And I write about a lot of the content that I saw firsthand on that Counterculture Mom website. I have all different blogs and those topics. Now, that's my type of pressure, what I've witnessed firsthand, just a little bit digging in deep. But when I talked to Brittany Murphy on set, just to give your listeners a glimpse of what I heard when I was talking to her on the set of A Little Black Book, this was about a year or two before she passed away at, I think, early 30s. It was a wild, sad situation. But I remember talking to her on set. I was one of her office workers, like her employees, and we had about a 10 to 15, maybe even 20-minute conversation between takes where no one was with us. I was with her in a hallway. I will never forget our conversation. And she's like, so what do you do? And I'm like, well, besides acting? She's like, yeah, do you have another time, part-time job? A lot of people, do you have another whole job that supports this? I said, yeah, actually, I'm a motivational speaker. Really? What do you do? And I told her, what's Tina Marie Live? I actually talk about a lot of celebrities that are, saying one thing but doing another, or music you should steer clear from, like Eminem, Marshall Mathers. I go, hey, you just worked with him at 8 Mile. And she's like, yeah, I did. She's like, I know exactly who you are. So she had heard what I was doing, and that was only like 3 or 4 years into it. Mm-hmm. And she said, that I know exactly what you're talking about. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm like, well, thanks. You mind if I ask you a personal question? She goes, yeah, shoot. I said, and I couldn't believe I was even talking to a celebrity because honestly, you could get fired. You could get in trouble, reprimanded from the cast and crew just because they tell you not to interact with the main actors. But she was asking and questions to me. So I'm like, well, I don't want to be rude and not answer. But I said, hey, tell me if it's too personal. But what was your experience working on 8 Mile, doing like the drug scenes and sex scenes? I hope you don't mind, but I talked to students literally about that movie and here you were in it. She goes, Tina, the pressure I felt to do the role and say yes to a role that I did not agree with is something I can't even express. Going home after shooting a scene that she didn't agree with, she felt guilty, shameful, knowing full well that kids were going to follow, believe, and do what they were promoting in that movie. And I could tell by what she said and the look on her face, her heart was ripped out. She just felt so bad and told me I had so much pressure that if I don't take that role, don't do these type of movies, I will never work in the industry again. And that was such a big aha moment for me because here I was 3 years into Hollywood, wanting to become the next big star so I could use my glory for God, God's glory, and share to people that it's Jesus that got me here. I hear from a celebrity, which I was warning teens now about for a couple of years, steer clear from these celebrities promoting this message, thinking the celebrities were the main people that were promoting sometimes demonic but sex-saturated, drug-infested pole dancing scenes. And in reality, it was the producers, the directors, the writers, the production companies of Hollywood, the bigwigs who own the media, in L.A. and New York, that were telling and controlling these actresses and actors to do a certain role or they would no longer work in the industry. Now, some actors, they're like, no big deal. I just want the paycheck. I could care less. I'm living this lifestyle anyway. But a majority of people I found over the years talking to them firsthand, these celebrities did not agree with the roles. The majority didn't. It's just that they felt the pressure. If they don't do it, they'll lose their job and they won't be able to make their payment on their mansion. That was a huge aha moment for me, where I realized the pressure was so much greater for top A celebrities than even what I was experiencing. And what I was experiencing, I thought, was pretty high pressure.
Hmm. Well, Tina, you've said a whole lot in just a few moments about just the reality behind the Hollywood industry. Would you pray for believers that, for example, they may feel that they may feel called or drawn into that culture and may feel like you, want to make an impact, but at the same time have the discernment and the strength and the wisdom to be discerning from, in other words, have the wisdom to know how to be able to say no, like you did, and not get sucked into that tragic culture. Would you pray for those individuals?
Absolutely. Lord, I just lift up that if you right now are talking to directly to people that you've placed a desire in their hearts to pursue entertainment industry as a career, that you make that very clear, because I know how much the pressure is. I also know what's at stake, but I know the positive, amazing impact that if you've called a certain person to the entertainment industry, how that can have an impact for your kingdom's sake. I know it's possible, Lord, and I know it's desperately needed. We need more Christians in film and TV. I know you've guided my steps, Lord, through the years, and you definitely have me out there for a reason, and I pray that you give the clarity and the peace of mind and the urgency, Lord, in the people that are listening that you've called into the entertainment industry. Protect what agency they end up getting for an agent, for a representation. Protect the job that you want them to get. There's so many amazing stories like the I Can Only Imagine movie with different stars from that movie getting the role. Dennis Quaid, Lord, I just lift him up in prayer. Many people that don't know you but are getting Christian roles, and even the Christians that you want to have roles in movies, make them very discerning on what they say yes to for a role,
yes,
that the doors are open wide for the opportunities you want them to take, and make it clear of the different opportunities they will get, because they will get a lot, Lord, of the roles that you don't want them to take, but have them lovingly turn down the role and use it as a witnessing opportunity for their agents, for the other people working on set, for the crew. If we have people, Lord, currently in the entertainment industry, I have several very close friends of mine that are currently in the entertainment industry and are Christians.
I pray you will
also lift those people up currently working on set. And if they're asked to do a scene in a movie, a TV show, a music video, I've been there, Lord. Give them the boldness to turn down the role, even if it might cost them their job, even if it might cost them a career, a paycheck, and that you'll provide in some other manner in a bigger way. I've heard so many stories of celebrities that did that, and you bless them because of it.
Thank
you. Have them stand firm, because we never know who will be reached as a result through our true belief in who you are and following your word, who we're going to reach and what impact it's going to have, Lord. I believe sometimes these could be tests. Are we willing to put our belief in you before fame and fortune?
Thank you, Lord.
So I pray for anyone out there interested in entertainment or currently in entertainment, Christians and even non-Christians, that you will draw them closer to you, that will have more entertainment created that is positive, that is great quality entertainment that blasts even the Hollywood secular stuff out of the water, Lord. Use our talents and gifts that you gave us to profess who you are. If anyone ever out there, Lord, also wants to reach out to me and I can help them out in any way regarding entertainment, regarding what agencies are great, I just ask you, Lord, that they know that they can come to me for these questions. I can help guide them and lead them to the right direction. Thank you for the dream you've placed in our hearts, no matter if it's entertainment or not.
Thank you.
And the boldness you've given us, because we're doing this for you, Lord, and if you're in us, you will be speaking to us. You'll be guiding our actions, guiding our thoughts, Lord. And I pray that people who are contemplating, is there a God or not in Hollywood, Lord, that you will make that evident, and they will get themselves involved in a church, meet another Christian on set if we're being bold ministry, and that more people, even celebrities, Lord, will be one for you, because you died for celebrities as well. You died for the people right now that are being deceived and being used as a puppet for Satan, and to give him glory when you deserve the glory. And I just pray that you will help people see that this is such an exciting life to live, if you live fully for you, doing the career choice and the path that you've called us to be on, and not to let fear hold us back. If we're in fear, it's because Satan does not want us to move forward in what you have for our life. And I pray right now, Lord, you will blast any kind of fear, any kind of questioning, any kind of doubt, any kind of anything that would stop us, financial, from doing what you call us to do, because you've always proven faithful to me. You've always come through with finances. You've always come through with the right people. You've always blessed me when I was obedient. And I pray that every person listening will experience exactly what I've experienced living for you boldly and more. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tina. Appreciate that. Different question, too. Now, you speak at schools, prisons, parent events, churches, music festivals, cruises, just different places. What are some of the key messages that you will generally share when you go to these different places?
Yes. It's a jam-packed, usually 90-minute presentation that literally has people on the edge of their seat in a really good way. Not because it's me, it's because it's God, and he literally downloads in my head what to share and how to say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Hollywood Exposed, and I go through four main aspects of pop culture. My first section is more on TV and film, and so I talk about what are the messages currently being pumped out through TV shows and through movies today. And I go through what they're trying to tell us, the consequences that aren't revealed, why they're trying to shape us into believing something that's not true, how they make money at it, how they gain fame because of it. For example, Lucifer, when that first came out two years ago or so, maybe almost three, I talked about the fact that just the title of the show alone is very deceptive, but Lucifer, I'll go into detail, I'm just giving you one slide of like 150 that I give.
Mm-hmm.
But Lucifer is looked upon as the good guy in this TV show. And so I had a lot of teens come up to me saying, how could God do such a horrible thing and kick Lucifer out of heaven? They were so twisted in their mindset, being mad and angry at God for kicking Lucifer out, that they didn't realize that Satan, through this TV show, was completely corrupting the true worldview that we should have, especially our young people, because they're the ones watching the show. Well, I got excited that they got the show got dropped on Fox, and then within weeks later got picked up on Netflix. So that TV show I go through, there's a brand new remake of Sabrina. I actually worked on Sabrina 15 years ago. It was more of a comedy back then. I had a great time. Melissa Joan Hart was the major star there. But today's Sabrina, when parents now are being deceived, thinking, oh, it's a remake, it's coming back with a show from 15, 20 years ago. It couldn't be further from the truth. It's filled with Satanism, demonic activity, how to join the occult, how to use Ouija boards, and the list goes on and on. So I'm doing this in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Joseph, I'm able to share this in high school, and I praise God for that, because we're going to come to a day where they probably won't even allow me in a high school anymore. But it's so intriguing. Even when I talk about Satan in high school today, I'm shocked. I don't dwell on it because I don't want to freak people out too much, but it definitely makes people think twice. And the way I present it, I don't share my presentation on saying, I can't believe you don't see this. What's going on with you guys? What are you doing? Like, I don't condemn. I don't judge. I'm saying, here is what these people are promoting.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what they do in their own homes. Here are positive entertainment options instead that would make us feel joyful, not depressed, not suicidal, not wanting to get involved with cutting, not severing our relationship with the Lord, even that with the downer shows that are out there. So film and TV is my first section. And then I have another section where I go into video games, which is huge. Many parents are unaware of the graphic, violent video games that exist out there today. And we're not talking, Pastor Joseph, on shooting ducks, like I did when I was first playing Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt when I was 15 years old. You know, that taught us how to go out there and shoot dinner and put it on the table for dinner, you know, how to go out there and get a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Today is completely different. And so I talk about the violent video games to steer clear from, the rating system in video games. Depending if it's parents or teens, I go into detail for the audience that I'm speaking to on how I address those issues.
I'm going to have to jump in here, Tina. We'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Tina Griffin. She's the counterculture mom. We'll be right back after this break.
Listen. listen to Stacy on the Right with Stacy Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
Stacy on the Right. Now heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Help her in her time of grief, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Give her strength, give her guidance, and help her realize that you are there with her.
Intercession is a unique form of prayer. It's praying on behalf of another individual.
Pastor Joseph Parker of the Hour of Intercession.
Our prayer life is to not consist only of praying for ourselves and our own families, but we're to pray much for the needs of others and the world.
Listen weekday afternoons at 1 Central here on Urban Family Talk.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Much has been written about the millennial generation, but the most readable and interesting is the book by Grant Skeldon, The Passion Generation. He has been a regular participant on the Point of View radio talk show Millennial Roundtable and brings lots of insight into this generation. He is the founder of the Initiative Network that seeks to train millennials to be Christ-loving, city-changing, church-investing, disciple-making local missionaries. Although the book focuses on millennials, it's really about discipleship. His argument is the critical component missing is discipleship. He explains we don't have a millennial problem. Instead, we have a discipleship problem. Our culture is feeling the result of a mentorless, fatherless generation. As you open the book, you will discover that it is very different from most other books. There are lots of diagrams and pictures that drive home his key points. When Grant Skeldon was on my radio program, he explained that idea came to him when an artist on a whiteboard started drawing and diagramming his message while he was giving it. He thought it would be a good idea to include such visual aids inside the book. You will also notice a device icon while reading through the book. This is a key that instructs you to pull up videos on a website that illustrate and supplement the material in that section of the book. And even the acknowledgments section is different because it features line drawings of the people who were influential in Grant's life. You can read the book as an individual, but I think its greatest power can be found in studying it with others. Discipleship is more than merely the transfer of information. It involves life change that takes place when we're intimately involved in each other's life. The book can be a catalyst for discipleship. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
The music of Hezekiah Walker, the song Every Praise. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Tina Griffin. She's the counterculture mom, and she shared some powerful insights about the work she's doing and how she's had a chance to share with lots and lots of folks. Tina, if someone wants to get in touch with you or learn more about your work and ministry, how can they do that?
Well, there's two main ways to get in touch with me. First of all, I want to let everybody listening know that you can get my guide. It's a free parent media guide. It's loaded with thousands of positive entertainment choices from video games, comedians, TV shows, movies, you name it. And I've learned over the years that a lot of parents want to do a pop culture purge in their home. They just want to make sure they have positive replacements that are God-honoring. And so to get that guide, all you have to do is text the word guide, G-U-I-D-E, to the number 444-999. Guide to the number 444-999, and it will prompt you and ask you for your email address, and I will email you immediately that four-page PDF guide, and you'll also be on our weekly newsletter list, which will give you a quick five-minute update on what happened that week and what to watch out for and the positive entertainment options that exist, so you're aware that you can watch fun things with your family and conversation starters to have with your kids. The other thing is we just launched the Counterculture Mom app. And I'm so encouraged by how many people have downloaded that app already, and they get great updates, notifications on their phone that I send out pretty much weekly, unless it's an emergency thing that I have to pop out there as an alert. But it lets parents know what to watch out for. It gives a lot of great content on there as far as videos. I have a whole YouTube channel that's in there, and there's five other bloggers, speakers, authors, you name it, on this app with me. It's a Counterculture Mom app, free. You can download it from Google Play, iTunes Store. A lot of great features in there, even a section where you can take a screenshot, a quick video, or text me through that app of something you see that other parents should be aware of, and that I take that information and blast it out to everybody. It's worked so cool. I'm so glad God downloaded that idea in our heads about a year ago. And, of course, the website, counterculturemom.com, is a great website to go to, and we have a Facebook group, Counterculture Mom. I will warn everybody, I'm being so censored. I'm blocked almost every second or third week on Facebook for promoting God's truth. But it's a great way to have all of us share on that one wall space what's going on in our culture so parents are aware.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. You know, yes. Tina, you've touched on this reality, but media is clearly a very effective and a powerful discipleship tool, period. You know, whether people realize it that or not, of course, media is a medium of sharing truth or influence. Well, you know, I think of this, that when we're just in the process of discipling people, for example, sadly in Christian circles, sometimes people frown on the use of videos and that sort of thing for teaching and preaching purposes, but they think it's perfectly normal for the world. Well, of course, everything is really made for the glory of God and the kingdom of God, the tools and the items out there. But we need to grasp the need that we need to take what God has made available and use it for his kingdom and not let the world think it belongs to them. So any further thoughts about that?
Yes, and I love that you even touched upon this. I don't believe that we should not use social media, not check, you know, not do email, not have a website, not even be out there in the world, because God clearly told us be in the world, not of it. Mm-hmm. And everybody, 95% of teens, I just did a magazine article for Brio Magazine for Focus the Family. I just wrote an article about the dangers of sexting, and I just turned that in a week ago. And 95% of teens now, from the different studies that I've read, have a cell phone or use one regularly. That tells me that a majority of teens today are shaping their worldview, hopefully on the Word of God, but good chance is not. It's mostly coming from what pop culture, entertainment, social media, Snapchat, whatever is telling them to believe in, and they then believe in it and live it out, and they become it. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's critical that we use social media, websites, videos to glorify and honor God. There's a movie coming out in April called Breakthrough, with, I won't blow the story, but I just watched the trailer a couple times this week, and I've literally cried almost every time, like not full-fledged, but I'm telling you, I'm tearing up, where a mom's adopted son fell through some ice, and he was dead for an hour, and he is in this hospital bed, and this happened in Missouri, where I just lived for the last decade, and she comes in an hour later, she goes, oh, no, my God, bigger than that, and she starts praying out loud, and saying, God, please heal my son. And seconds later, his heart starts beating. An hour after he's been dead, And I don't even know how many minutes he was underneath the ice. He fell through some ice there when he was playing with a couple of kids on this frozen over ice, this lake. I'm telling you, those are the type of movies that change lives. We need more movies like I Can Only Imagine. This is drawing people closer to the Lord. They start to contemplate, is there a God? It opens up conversation between believers and unbelievers. We can invite our unsafe friends to amazing Christian films. Now, when I was a kid, I thought most of my Christian movies that I went to were cheesy, and so I was kind of embarrassed to bring my friends to that, even though I did. Mm-hmm. But today, they're phenomenal, and I am so excited to see, even like a movie like Gosnell, that's bringing forth truth about Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry and the fact that it's the murdering of babies. So we can use media so powerful for the kingdom of God that's why I love and gravitate towards exposing the lies of our today's media and then guiding people to thousands of entertainment choices that are God-honoring and can change lives and save lives. Mm-hmm. I just talked to a woman I met when I spoke at a music festival 15 years ago, out of the blue, messaged me through Facebook a month ago. I was not supposed to be up. I was looking at furniture because we're still trying to get our house put together after moving here to Nashville. And God had me up that night because she messaged me and said, I'm about to jump off a 6-foot-story building. I'm reaching out to you for help. You're the last resort. Nobody else has helped me. And that ding came through on my phone at like 12:04 in the morning. I'm like, I shouldn't be up right now. I remembered meeting that girl a good 10 to 15 years ago, messaged her back, talked her off. God talked her off of that building ledge. She's now getting help. All to say, people remember other people who share truth. And we might get blasted, persecuted, sued over it now. But at the same time, I'm willing to take that chance. And I want to encourage listeners right now, we should be willing to take that chance because God said it wouldn't be easy. We would be persecuted. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to a life-saving, life-changing moment, these people will be coming to us because we were bold and stayed steady with God's truth, and they run to us first when they want answers. And I think in this day and age, people are looking for, are you just saying it or are you really living it? And anyway, I'll say that media is so powerful, and yes, we need to invest our talents wisely and use them because even though I took a ministry trip out to Africa, a mission trip, thousands of kids were impacted by Eminem, Britney Spears, and I hardly saw any TV sets out there. It's just so powerful, and it can impact and change nations. That's right. We use it correctly.
That is so true. That is so true. And it's good for us to know, too, everything is spiritual, whether people want to recognize that or not. Nothing is neutral. It's all supposed to be for the glory of God, but the devil tries to pervert what God has placed out there. So I want to, our time is almost gone. I want to ask Tina, would you specifically pray for the church and the people of God to become aggressive about the Word of God, the kingdom of God, and understanding? We're called to be on the offense when it comes to building the kingdom and tearing down the kingdom of darkness. Pray for the church in that regard, would you?
Amen, definitely. Lord, I just lift up Christians around the globe and churches, Lord. We see so many churches today that are afraid to stand up for your truth, afraid that they're going to get sued. But I pray, Lord, that you'll give them your power, your wisdom, your discernment to speak the truth so more and more people will come into those doors on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, throughout the week, Lord, to get your truth.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
It's not about numbers, God. It's about your truth that's being professed. And people are searching for it. They're hungry for it. They're dying because of a lack of truth, either physically, emotionally, spiritually, you name it. And I just pray that not just pastors of churches and youth pastors and staff at different church buildings, that's very important because they're leaders, Lord, to give them the boldness, the love to share the truth in a time of need, but also us as Christians, that we not make the responsibility that of the leaders, but we take our own responsibility in digging into your word daily, by applying it, by sharing it, Lord. If we know the truth and we have a friend across the street that's dying and headed to hell right now, and we are not sharing with that person, I ask you, give us the burden because someone shared it with us. We're alive today and going to heaven forever with you, Jesus, sooner than later because someone took their time and was bold enough, even though they were scared, to share with us on who you are. And I pray that you give that to us as a daily reminder, no matter where we go, even shopping in a grocery store with our kids, or on a school bus teens with each other, or middle school students, or even as at our job. even while we see headlines, Lord, of people losing their jobs because they shared their faith in America or use the wrong pronoun while at a college campus and they lose their job, Lord, you are glorified through it all. These are tests that you're giving us to see if we can actually be ready for the bigger battle that is to come ahead.
Thank you.
And the last thing that any of us want, Lord, is to face you one day and not be able to say that we did our best, giving 110% on living out the faith that you called us to live out.
Jesus.
And so I pray that we just have a daily reminder that you gave us a plan of purpose and that we're out there to change lives, and that's all we need to be concerned about is what you think, Lord, not what other people think, because in today's day and age, many people will not agree. Many people will blast us. Many Satanists will be after us, as I can fully attest in this very moment. There are many Satanists after me, and I'm sure many other believers, but we have the responsibility to respond in love so that all, if we can, Lord, can find out who you are and want to learn more. So help us respond in love. Remind ourselves that they're lost, that they're hurting, that they're searching, Lord. And if we are put in that position to be attacked, let us respond just the way you would respond so that we do win souls, because that is what our main job was to do. Go out and make disciples of every nation.
Thank you, Lord.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I pray you'll strengthen my faith, tuning in, Pastor Joseph, everybody, Lord. In order to unite, we have to speak truth in love. And be able to have people see that they need to be freed from sin, not embrace sin, not say love any kind of lifestyle or any kind of behavior, but the true love comes from us sharing the truth in your word to other people so they'll be freed from sin, freed from the bondage, and living for you, no matter what the cost is on our end, because honestly, they're attacking you, Lord, and not us as a person.
Yes,
and that is a battle that we give to you as well, Lord. Guide our every step. Give the churches the boldness they need to have. That many teens tell me they want to try to find a church that's speaking truth, Lord. We need more pastors and more churches on fire for you than ever before, as well as Christians walking into that church.
Thank you.
Attendees, but also be participating.
Yes.
As volunteers, helping out in the community throughout the week, making a difference. Each and every one of us, Lord, was given a specific reason for being here on the earth, and I pray you'll give us the guidance on what that is, and then we get started immediately on what you want us to do to make a difference. If we all did that, Lord, I honestly believe we'd have a different world and a different America today. I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. I thank you for Pastor Joseph on giving me this time to be on the radio to share from my heart.
Thank you, Lord, I pray
for all the people tuning in that I know from listening to today's episode will be going out there and making a difference, which will help my kids live in a better America tomorrow.
Yes,
in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Tina. Our time is about gone here. Again, how do you want listeners to pray for you?
I have a lot of Satanists after me right now. I really do. But the weird thing is I'm not worried. I just keep taking screenshots of their nasty comments, posting them back on my Facebook wall and saying, pray for these people. They're attacking me for whatever reason.
But that's
the biggest way, is just prayer for the ministry as a whole.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tina, and keep up the great work for the kingdom.
Thanks.
Amen. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Pray much for Tina Griffin and the Counterculture Mom Ministry. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.